Thank you, choir. Brother Frank. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 28 through 30. I want to speak to you on the subject of rest. You know, the Lord came into this world to die on the cross for our sins because he realized, he knew that we could not save ourselves. He knew when he redeemed us what he was getting. He knew that we were sinners by nature, sinners by choice, and he knew that the only way that we'd ever make it to heaven was through his redemption. And he came anyway, because he loves us. He came to save sinners. And I'm glad that he came to save sinners, because none of us would be saved were it not for the fact that he came to save sinners. And God wants us to rest in his goodness. God wants us to be pleased with what he's done. But the devil wants us to always be trying to measure up. The devil wants us always hiding from God because we figure we deserve for God to be angry with us. Amen? The fact that we're sinners does not anger God. God redeems sinners. He has a plan for our life, and that plan is designed to bring us peace and joy. God does not want us to be in turmoil under stress. Did you know that doctors say that stress is one of the greatest causes of diseases? One of the greatest causes of heart attacks? One of the greatest causes of all kinds of problems that we have? Our body is not designed to live under stress. But our world is. Our world is designed to keep us stressed to the max. But God has a better plan. And this morning I want us to look at what God has to say about the life he wants us to live while we're here on this planet. Stay with me, if you will, in honor of God's word, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture that invites us into rest. Lord, I pray this morning that every one of us here, no matter what our problems, no matter what our stresses, no matter what our shortcomings are, that we might leave here having entered into your rest. Lord, I pray that you would remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. Open our understanding that we may grasp your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's purpose is obvious here in verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now, the invitation is to those that labor and are heavy laden. And what he's saying with that is those of you who are under stress. I suspect that that's about every one of us. Because our world is designed to keep us under stress. And God says, you come to me and I will give you rest. That's his purpose. Now, think with me, if you will. God has done all that it takes to take us to heaven. Paul asked the question, if God was willing to give up his own son, he didn't hold back his own son, will he not with him give us every good thing? You see, God is not satisfied to just take us to heaven when we die. God wants us to live in peace and contentment and rest while we're on this earth. And so God's purpose in saving you was not only to take you to heaven, but to keep you in a state of rest. That's what God desires for you. Think about that. God wants you to be out from under stress and to live in such a way that you bring glory to His name because you're praising Him for the joy and the rest that is in your life. That's God's purpose for us. You say, Brother Allen, you just don't know the stress that I live under. And I know that our society is stressful. I know that. That's the reason it is so important that we hear what Jesus is saying to us here and enter into His rest. One day He told us, if you will put your faith in what I did on the cross, I'll save you eternally. We believe that, and He did. He saved us. Now we have our eternal destiny all settled. But what about between now and when we actually go to heaven? God is interested in that too. God wants to deliver us from all of the anxiety and the stress of this life. As a matter of fact, the most powerful testimony you'll ever have is when you live resting in God's goodness. Because that's what the world's looking for. It's what the world needs. And that is what separates us from the lost. We have somebody taking care of us. We have somebody watching over us. And we can trust Him and rest in His promises. Now, when God saves us, He puts within us a new spirit. And that new spirit is to guide us and to teach us His truth so that we may know the truth and be set free from all of the problems of this life. Listen to what He says here in verses 16 through 25, Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we receive the Spirit of the Lord, and He comes in and He lives in us, and He makes His abode with us, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. While we are in this body, the Holy Spirit is going to be with us. When we leave this body, He's going to carry us right on into the presence of God Himself. Now, that's living in the Spirit. He says, if we live in the Spirit, we ought also to walk in the Spirit. Now, that becomes more difficult. You see, that's an ongoing choice. If God had left it to a choice whether we live in the Spirit or not, we would have messed that up. But God doesn't leave that to a choice. He does leave it to a choice whether we walk in Him or not, whether we live under the stress of this world or we rest in Christ Jesus and His willingness to take over our lives and to control everything that comes into our life. Now, He promises through giving this new spirit that there is no stress to be endured. Let me say that again. God promises that there is no stress to be endured. I know some of you are saying, well, He missed me because I'm feeling some stress. Well, that's the invitation that God gives. He says, come to me. We'll get to that in a minute. But look what He says here. Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace. That's what God's will is for your life. He wants you to be free from stress. No stress. You say, well, that would be wonderful. I heard a story of a man. He said, told his friend, he said, I hired a fellow to do all my worrying for me, so I have no worries left in the world. The guy said, how much did that cost? He said, $1 million a day. He said, how in the world can you afford that? He said, that's his first worry. Whenever we have stress in our life, it just pulls us down. It drains us. It makes us vulnerable to the devil. And so God doesn't want us to live in that stress. And so he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Now notice he says here, he will keep us in perfect peace because we trust in him. You see, if you start out in the morning and you say, I have got to go out and work hard and make money or my family will starve, that puts you under stress. But if you trust God and God's provision, God says, I'm going to take care of you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That's a promise. Now, if you go out in the morning believing that, then no matter what happens, no matter how derailed your train may look, behind all of it, there's God who says, I got this. I've got everything under control. There's nothing to fear. Just rest. I'm in control. When we trust that, there's nothing to worry about. Something you have to understand is that God's will be done. Mark it down. God's will be done. Now, if I'm willing to have God's will done in my life, that's a done deal. The problem is, we don't always want God's will for our life. If we just settle in to trust God that his will is better than our will, then there's nothing to fear because God's will be done. And if we just affirm that his will is our will, you say, well, if God tell me what his will is, I would consider it. That's not the way it works. You adopt God's will because of God's person. You adopt God's will because of God's promises. And when you adopt God's will, it's whatever his will is good for me. And God tells us that everything that comes into our life, he uses and works good out of. Joseph understood that when his brothers were trying to apologize for selling him into slavery. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God had a purpose even in the evil that he allowed into Joseph's life. You say, well, why would God allow evil into Joseph's life? Well, he tells us. Joseph said, God sent me down here to save not only my family, but the Egyptians from starvation. That was God's purpose. It was a good purpose. Now, you meant it for evil. He's not condoning doing evil so that good may come. He's just saying there is nothing that will ever be allowed in my life that God won't use for good. And whenever it comes into my life, I can accept it not because I know what the outcome is, but because he knows what the outcome is, and this is what he chose for this moment because he knows what's coming in the next moment. And the value of that is that you can rest no matter what's going on. Then he promises new strength. Have you ever had time in your life when you say, I just can't do this? I can't go through this. Well, in your flesh, you're right. But God promises new strength through the Spirit. Listen to what he says here in Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When Elijah went through the time of the battle of the gods on Mount Carmel. He killed the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. And after all that was done, somebody went and told Jezebel. And Jezebel said, he will be whistling a different tune when I get through with him. It's paraphrase. And so when he got that message, he wasn't afraid of all those prophets of Baal and prophets of the grove, but he was scared to death, Jezebel. She must have been some wicked woman. But the truth is, he had spent all of his emotional energy. He took off running. He ran up into the mountain. And God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he told him. He said, she's killed all the prophets, and I'm the only one left. Now she's after me. God said, get up off your face, Elijah. I have reserved unto myself 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. He told him, I want you to get up here in this place and we're going to talk. And God told him, the journey's too hard for you right now. And so the angel came and ministered to Elijah. And he fed him twice, and after that he was able to go 40 days without eating. Now all of that is a picture to us. Your strength will be equal to your task. God is the one who gives strength. We need to always know God has it under control. And we can rest in that. What are we going to do with Obamacare? What are we going to do with the national debt? What are we going to do with all those things? I have no idea. But I'll tell you what. I know who the king is. He's still in charge. And whatever he sees fit to do, it's okay with me. How about you? Is it all right with you if God wants to change things in America? Is it all right with you if God wants to shake stuff up? He's God. Whatever he wants to do is the best. It's the right thing for us at this time. Because you see, a whole lot of people in America are going to hell just as fast as they can go. Some of them sitting on church pews this morning because they believed something that wasn't right and their gospel won't save. God has got to do something or they're going to all go to hell. He's going to have to get some attention. Something has to be done, and God is the one who has to do it. And so as God begins to maneuver, don't get afraid. Just trust him, because his purpose for you is to rest. No matter what the rest of the world's doing, your purpose is to just trust him and rest. Tell you what it will do. If you're resting while the rest of the world is losing their head and living under stress, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And then you better be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Now, what's God's plan to give us this peace, this rest? How does he take somebody who is stressed to the max, who does not know how to deal with stress, who is completely messed up in the area of stress? How does God fix that? Well, here's his plan. Listen to it. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now, the key is taking the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ upon ourselves. The yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ is his will. It is letting him be God, letting him be Lord in your life and in my life. When we do that, he will give us rest. Rest is not something you attain. Now listen very carefully here. You will never figure out how to be at ease and resting. It has to be a gift from God. It's just like your salvation. You can't figure out how to save yourself. You can't live good enough to save yourself. You can't get smart enough to save yourself. You have to be saved by somebody outside you who has the power to forgive your sins and to change you into the image of Jesus Christ. Have to have a Savior. By the same token, there is no rest, the Bible says, for the wicked. Now, the wicked here is not just sinners, it's lost sinners. There is no peace. It's no wonder to me so many people think that if they can get all this money, it will one day give them peace, and then they get the money, and it doesn't work, and they kill themselves. That doesn't surprise me, because there is no peace, there is no rest for the lost. You can't attain to that. It's a gift, just like salvation. And so God says, here's the way that we can have that rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Now, yoke is what is used to allow somebody to, or like a horse, to bear a burden and to pull and to do work for whoever is in control. Now, the Lord says, you take my yoke upon you. What he wants to do is saddle us up with his wheel and let him direct our paths. In order to do that, we have got to trust his will with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding, because if we start leaning to our own understanding, we go back to the same mode, just like the lost people, trying somehow to find some way to find peace. That's what the whole world wants, by the way, this contentment. Why do people want to be rich? Because in their mind, they think the golden rule is whoever has the gold makes the rules. And if you can get enough stuff, enough toys, then you will be at peace, because nobody can hurt that. But the Lord gives us a little parable that helps us understand the vanity in that. He said there was the fields of a certain man brought forth abundantly. Now, he didn't say, all right, now for some rest. No, as a matter of fact, he was even more stressed. He said, what am I going to do? I have more than I can put in my barn. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. And I'll store all my stuff in those barns. I'll lock the door, put 6 padlocks on it. I threw that in. And then I will say to my soul, you have much goods laid up for many days. Take your ease. But the Lord said to him, you fool. Today your soul will be required of you. And then who shall all these things be? Now what's his point? There will never be a time when enough stuff is enough stuff. There will be. I was amused at a cartoon I saw. I thought it was very, very telling. This guy had this donkey, and he was pulling a cart. In order to get the donkey to go, he had to carry it, and he put it on a pole and put it right in front of the donkey's face. And the donkey was trying to get to the carrot. And he kept chasing that carrot. And I thought to myself, that's exactly what people are doing when they're trying to find contentment at the end of some pursuit. No matter what the pursuit is, it will always be a little bit ahead of where you are. You know, the end of the rainbow is the next exit. We must trust God's will. And when we take God's yoke upon us, what we're saying is, your will is what I want, no matter what it is. It's not tell me what it is and then I'll decide. It's, Lord, I trust you. You bring into my life whatever you want to bring into my life, because I know it's the very best, because you're the very best. And I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to rest in that. And then you just take the passenger seat. You know those little bumper stickers that says, God is my co-pilot? Well, listen, that doesn't work. You don't need a co-pilot. You need a pilot. You be the co-pilot. You be the passenger. Let God run your life. Now, let me give you a little warning. He may turn your life around. You may not immediately see where God's going. Just hang on right. Because he's got a plan. And nobody can mess up his plan. And how are you doing as far as finding rest so far in your life? Most of us lived a long time. By ourselves, if all we've ever pursued is something in this world according to our will that's going to bring us rest, we've failed up to this point. So since that's not working, why not try what God says will work? We trust Him with our eternity. Why not with our now? If God is lying to us, I'd rather find that out before I die. But you see, God is able to give us rest just like He's able to take us to heaven when we die. I didn't help Him with that at all. And I don't need to help Him with His will in my life. Now, let's look at what God says is required. We're going to take His yoke upon us. First, there's lordship. Look at John 14, verse 15 through 23. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You see, there is a relationship with the Lord that is just as real, and we're just as aware of that as we are with other relationships. And He says, if you are in my commandments, if you trust my will in your life and you follow my commands, I'm going to be very present with you, and you're going to know that I'm there. And that's very true. People can't see the Lord, but they can see the effects of the Lord in your life, because He will give you peace. Whatever robs you of peace, listen to me, is not worth it. Mark it down. Whatever robs you of peace is not worth it. You say, well, I can't get rid of this, or I can't get rid of that. Getting rid of stuff doesn't solve the problem. Changing jobs doesn't solve the problem. I had a deacon one time that was farming 11,000 acres. And he was responsible for about 20 families. And he said, I don't know how I got in this mess. But he said, I wish I was back to where I just had 40 acres and a mule, just me and my wife, no stress. I told him, I said, it wouldn't work. Because if you were at that and you begin to feel the stress of that, you'd be saying, well, if I only had some more acreage, I could do better. Changing what you do won't solve the problem. Changing who you serve will. It doesn't matter what God has you doing, as long as you're doing it for Him. The Bible says, whatever you do and whatever work you perform, you do it unto the Lord. Why? Because He's the one that you're yoked up with. It's His command. It's His responsibility. And you just serve. And He will do the rest. Now, John 8, 31 through 32 tells us that we need to learn something. The more we understand about the truth, the more we can submit to God. The more we know God, the more we're going to love God. Because God is good. Amen? He is not mean. He is not cruel. God is good. And so we need to learn about God. Listen to what John 8, 31, 32 says. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Isn't that wonderful? I love passages like that. God says, I know what your problem is. You're in bondage. I know what your problem is. You've got things in your life that are controlling you. I know what your problem is. You've got stress in your life that is destroying your health, destroying everything about you. I've got a solution. Learn of me. He says, take my yoke upon you and then learn. The reason the sequence is that way, if we don't take the yoke of the Lord upon us, we won't understand what we're reading. Let me say that again because it's real important. If you don't surrender to the will of God in your life, you will not understand God's word. God opens his word to those who submit to his will. You can read the Bible until you turn blue. If God doesn't open your understanding, you'll never understand it. You'll come to the wrong conclusion. And so God says, first, you take my yoke upon you. You submit to his will. You say, Lord, whatever your will is, that's my will. And once you're in that state of mind, you begin to study God's word, and you begin to follow his direction. And the first thing you know, God is going to open your understanding, and you're going to know the truth, and that truth is going to set you free. Whole lot of Christians live in bondage all their life because they never submit to the yoke of God, and they never are then able to learn. There's a group of people, God says they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So they're never set free. God wants us to be free from all the bondage. He wants us to be free from the stress. And so he tells us, first, you must take my yoke upon you. That's the lordship of Christ. And then you've got to learn. And as you learn, you'll be set free. And that results in love. Nobody loves God like that person who's been set free. Nobody loves God like that person who really knows God and his goodness and what he has done for us. You know, I was tickled to death that God saved me when he saved me. But I am so much more grateful now that I know what he did. And the more I learn, the more I love him. Listen to what John 13, 34 and 35 says. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. The love that God wants us to have one for another cannot be attained until we take his yoke upon us, until we learn from his word and fall in love with him. We do not love him by purpose. We love him as a result of being yoked up with him and seeing what he does. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you taste and see that the Lord is good, you're going to naturally fall in love with him. And that's the love that God has called us to. And that freedom is a wonderful thing. And that's a taste of the love of God in our lives. Now, I want you to see God's promise. Verse 30 of our text says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is important, folks. The devil whispers in our ear when we begin to say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. The devil starts in, doesn't he? Because he doesn't want you yoked up with the Lord at all. And he's going to start trying to spook you. And he's going to start saying to you stuff like, God is going to take everything you've got. God is going to hurt you. God is going to mistreat you. He's going to have you be a missionary or something. He's going to do something to you that you're not going to like. Don't you just surrender your life to God. And so many people run away and hide because they don't trust God. But I want you to know, He put this in there for a reason. What's God going to do to you? Well, a yoke is so that you can pull a burden. But he's promised, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. Why? Because he pulls it. Whatever God asks you to do, he's going to do through you. He just wants you to go along for the ride and rest. Whenever God is in control of your life and you're trusting him, you rest. When God is in control of your life and you're resisting him, you're in turmoil. Because you're not going to be able to resist the will of God. You just can't do it. But whenever we just settle into it and we fall in love with Jesus, he promises that the burden will be light. And I can tell you, God will never put more on you than you can bear. You will. You'll put more on you than you can bear, but God won't. You see, whenever we start trying to do something to find this rest, find this peace that everybody's looking for, and we go out and we pursue it and we pursue it and we pursue it and we pursue it, we begin to work longer hours and sleep less, and we begin to worry and fret because it's not working for us. We put more on us than we can bear, but Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. There's two things I want you to see here. Number one, God can do your life, listen to me, without stress. He can. He can do your life. I didn't say a life. I said your life without stress. And then number two, I want you to know that God has some purpose in taking you through whatever you're going through. And that purpose is to show you there's nothing that can harm you while I'm standing beside you. Nothing. God's burden is light and his yoke is easy. And he has called us to rest. He said, these things have I written to you that my joy might remain with you and that your joy might be full. Do you have full joy this morning? That's God's purpose for your life. That's what he wants. Now he promises to carry our cares. Amen. This is what he says to Peter, through Peter. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's your submission to the Lordship of Christ. That is taking his yoke upon you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You see, humbling comes first. Submission comes first. You can't cast your care on him while you have control of the steering wheel. It's your responsibility. Whenever you are in a car, my father-in-law used to, he was an excellent driver, and I was somewhat less than excellent. And sometimes he would get tired when we were going somewhere and he'd let me drive reluctantly. But it never rested him because he never quit driving. He hung on to the dash and he tried to steer the car by the dash. And when we would need to put the brakes on, he'd have both his feet sticking through my floorboard trying to stop the car. He could not rest while I drove. There's a whole lot of Christians that can't rest because they don't trust God. We have to humble ourselves. We're not equal with God. We're not able to do it better than God. We depend upon God. And so whenever we humble ourselves, then we can just cast our care on him. Whenever he was driving, I just went to sleep because I trusted him. He's a good driver. So I just went to sleep. I rested. Made him mad. But when we trust God, he's got everything under control. We can just rest. And he'll get us there safe and sound. Now, he also says he'll calm our fears. 1 John 4, 16 through 19 says this, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." One of the things we've got to learn is the great love of God for us. Because when we realize how much God loves us, it's just natural for us to love him. And that love casts out our fear. But he's also said he will conquer our foes. You come to Jesus, you can have all kinds of wickedness in your life. He says, come just as you are. Because he's paid the penalty for every sin that you have ever committed or ever will commit. He says, come to me. But he will not leave you in the mess that you come to him with. He'll conquer every foe in your life if you'll submit to him. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." It has been my experience in life that most of the Christians that I have known are trying to fight the devil with one hand and hang on to God with the other hand. It doesn't work. But the Lord is calling us today to lay all that aside. Maybe you've been struggling most of your Christian life, trying to overcome stress, hoping one of these days you're going to find that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, or you're going to somehow figure it all out. You'll get your barns full, and then you can say, "Soul, take thine ease." You know what the Lord's message is to you this morning? Come to me. All you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, his purpose is to bring you into peace. Respond to that. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You say, "I thought that was to lost people." Anybody can harden their heart. You can hear that God wants to set you free. You can hear that God wants to take every burden that you have, that God wants to give you rest so that you don't have a worry the rest of your life because you're trusting in him. But you can just close your mind to it. Walk out those doors, carry your burden with you. Or you can say, "Lord, I want to be in your yoke." Have no idea what that means until you reveal your will in my life. But I want your will. Say, "That seems reckless." It would be if it were not for the great love of God. Because he's not going to hurt you. He's going to take more careful care of you than you will ever take of yourself. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, the same message is to you. Come to me, the Lord says. I'll give you rest. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. Lord, I want to thank you for the rest that you have given to us. Lord, thank you that you care enough about us that you will protect us no matter what we go through. And Lord, thank you that no matter what happens in our world, our life is still protected by you. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on us. The one that's having the hardest time grasping this truth. The one that is having the hardest time fending off the devil. The one that's having the hardest time believing that you can really take care of them. Help them to cast their cares upon you. Walk out of this place in perfect rest because they trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray.